Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Way of Truth. My name is Kenny Chumley. I preach for the Gibson City Church of Christ, and it is a pleasure to have you with us this morning as we continue our study on the subject of prayer, and we're going to be in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. But before we get to that, let me tell you where you can find us and our times of meeting. The Gibson City Church of Christ meets at its building on the south side of Gibson on Route 47, where the first building north of the Pizza Hut. And this morning we will meet at 9 o'clock, and we have classes for all ages. The adult class is involved in a study of the life of Christ. At 10 o'clock, our worship includes singing and praying, reading scripture, eating the Lord's Supper. We do that every first day of the week. And preaching from the Bible. At the conclusion of the sermon, we take a short break and we reassemble for a second Bible class that lasts 20 to 30 minutes. And in the second class, we are presently studying through the book of Proverbs. On Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, we have a midweek study, and it lasts for an hour, and we have classes for all ages. This coming Wednesday, we're going to devote the hour to worshiping God in song. We have a website, GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com, and I would encourage you to visit it, because there you will find a great deal of information about what we believe, our practices. You'll find audio files of sermons, audio files of these radio talks on prayer. You'll find our Sunday bulletin posted with the articles that you can read. And to get there, simply go to GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. One of the main lessons we've been looking at in connection with prayer is the importance of man cooperating with God. Throughout the gospel, Christ emphasizes that salvation, having a right relationship with God, going to heaven, is a matter of cooperation. In the very first parable in Matthew 13, for instance, Christ stressed this. The parable is known as the parable of the sower, and cooperation is one of the major lessons that Christ taught. God has the right seed in the parable of the sower. God is the sower, and he has the right seed, and that seed is the Word of God, the gospel. But for the gospel to succeed, we need to have the right soil. Our heart cannot be hard, it cannot be shallow, it cannot be weedy. We need a good heart. And when good seed is received into a good heart, into good soil, there's going to be a harvest, a gospel harvest, a blessing, and wonderful things. And the same is true with prayer. We usually think of prayer as petitions, as asking God for this and for that. And in prayer, we certainly do petition God for things. But often, the answer to our prayer results when we cooperate with God. God often answers prayer by providing an opportunity. In Matthew chapter 7, Christ is going to say that if we will seek, we will find. If we will ask, we will have an answer. If we will knock, the door will be opened. And the way that God opens the door and the way that God allows us to find what we're seeking and the way he answers what we ask for, more often than not, is by providing us an opportunity, not by simply delivering a gift-wrapped present that contains what we ask for, but by giving us an opportunity. I once heard Bobby Knight say that all a coach can do is put a team in a position to win, and that's what God often does with us in response to prayer. Now, yes, there are times when God gives us blessings that are beyond our ability in terms of cooperation. There are people who have had incurable diseases. The doctors have done all they can do. They can do nothing more. And we pray for that person, and God answers our prayers with health being restored to the one we're praying for. There's no doubt but that God answers many of our petitions completely independent from anything we do. The sun comes up in the morning and the rain comes down. And that's evidence of God's universal grace. And the sun's going to come up no matter what I do today. And the rain's going to fall regardless of what I do. But there are other petitions we ask that in order to receive the answer, in order to have our petition granted, we must cooperate with God. And the first petition in the Lord's Prayer that we ask for ourselves is indicative of this. Now, last week we talked about that the first matter in prayer, the first order of business, is to remember God, to thank God, to remember what He is wanting to accomplish in this world. And only after we have addressed God's concerns should we then turn to our concerns. And when we turn to our concerns, the very first concern that we usually have are for our physical needs. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I talked last week about how this particular petition is possibly the most commented on petition in the Lord's Prayer because of the word translated daily. This is the only place we really know for sure in all of Greek writing and literature that this particular word appears. And since this is the only place it appears, nailing down the definition has not been particularly easy, but virtually every scholar agrees that daily bread is an accurate translation of the word. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, how does God answer that? Well, God answers it more often than not by giving us an opportunity. God answers it by giving us health so that we can get up and go to work. God answers it by giving us a job. God answers it by giving us a solvent employer who can pay us for the work that we do. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're asking that God give us an opening, give us an occasion, give us an opportunity to work to provide for ourselves. You know, if God did nothing but give us our food without demanding anything from us, He would not be blessing us. He would be disabling us. You've probably heard the stories about the animals in Yellowstone Park, the bears, for instance. And there are all these signs in the national parks, don't feed the bears, don't feed the wildlife, because what happens is that when these animals get accustomed to handouts, to being given all the food that they can eat, they lose their ability to forage for themselves. They lose their ability to go out and hunt and acquire their own food. And so by feeding the bears, we are disabling people. We are making them dysfunctional. We are not helping them out in the long run. And that's one of my complaints, and I don't mean to get on a high horse here or get sidetracked, but that's one of my complaints with the Great Society. Since 1964, how many trillions of dollars have been simply handed out to people? And look what it's gotten for us. It's gotten us South Chicago, South Side Chicago. It's gotten us Detroit. It's gotten us a third of the able-bodied individuals in this country not working at all. That's what it's done for us. And so God isn't going to disable us that way. God's not going to turn us into a cripple. And so He's going to provide opportunities for us. And in doing that, He's expressing His love. Give us, give. The word give is a word of love. Giving is what love does. And when God gives us an opportunity, that is a demonstration of His love. Now, the second petition that we pray for concerning ourselves is this: and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness was a central theme of Jewish prayers. Men need bread. But men don't live by bread alone, as Christ pointed out in the temptation back in Matthew chapter 4. We need forgiveness. And by including this petition in this model prayer that Christ gives us, he expected forgiveness to be an ongoing need. And those who understand sin's pull and sin's power have no problem understanding the inclusion of forgiveness in this prayer that Christ supplies. Now, sin is described in various ways in Scripture. Sometimes it's described as being a trespass. A trespass is when you cross a line and step into an area where you have no right to be. But here, the word that's used to describe sin is debt. When we sin, we run up a debt. The word debt implies that God is owed something. We owe God something. And you know what it is we owe him? We owe him our total, unqualified obedience. When we sin, however, we become indebted to God. We run up a debt. And we run up a debt that we can never pay off. And here's why. Our present obedience can never pay off past debt, because our present obedience is always the minimum requirement of the present. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? Every minute, every second, what is required of us is our total obedience. And when we fail in our total obedience, we have incurred a moral, a spiritual debt with God. And I can never pay off that debt, because I never have anything left over. When I am obedient to God, I never have anything left over, because obedience is always the minimum requirement of the present. So what do we do about past debt? Well, we ask God to forgive us. Eliminating our spiritual debt is a moral impossibility for us, but not for God. By Christ's death, God made forgiveness possible. And Scripture goes into great detail about how God, through the vicarious sacrifice of Christ, made it possible for him to forgive us and at one and the same time uphold his justice but extend mercy to us sinners. And so God's taken care of the technicalities. God's taken care of all of the legalities of forgiveness, so that we can now pray, forgive us our debt. And the word forgive means to send away. And as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 103, we're asking that God send our sins away as far as the west is from the east, and the east from the west. And God will send them away for his children. God will send them away. But the last part of this verse is something we need to pay attention to. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that doesn't speak just of cooperation. That's a condition that's laid down upon which our forgiveness is contingent. Our relationship with God cannot be right when our relationship with our fellow man is wrong. If there is some family member that we are alienated from, that we're not speaking to, for whom we harbor hatred, whom we're at odds with, and we have done nothing to correct that relationship, we cannot be right with God. In Matthew chapter 5, Christ says that being right with our fellow, our brother, is so important that if we go to church, this is in verses 23 and 24, Matthew 5. If we go to church and remember that our brother's got something against us, before we finish worship, we're to stop what we're doing, go and find our brother, and be reconciled to him. If we're unwilling to forgive a brother, God will not forgive us. Forgiving another doesn't earn us anything. But not forgiving another can forfeit us something, namely, God's forgiveness of us. Christ will come back to this in a postscript of the prayer in verses 14 and 15 that we'll talk about before we finish. But for today, my time's up, and so I've got to stop, and I hope what we're talking about and covering is helpful in your better understanding and appreciation of what is involved in prayer. I hope you have a good week. Lord willing, I'll be back with you next Sunday and look forward to being here at 8 o'clock on the Way of Truth.